What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You know what it is. Big Voice Man gave you a little bit of an idea. We're at the Houston Methodist Training Center for yet another practice out here at Training Camp 2025 for the Houston Texans. That's the OG John Lopez. I'm Reginald Attitude LaFiggy Fig, making it sound good back at the studio. We are in the midst of practice, and we're already seeing some fun stuff happening. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. Also, you can get at us on the Mokarem Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. There's some fun things happening in baseball as we are just over, 30 hours away from the trade deadline, thereabouts. There's some fun rumors that are coming out here for the Astros after they get a win last night. All those things we'll talk about, but we're looking at some football, so let's get some passing thoughts.
Who's having fun, man? How about some passing thoughts?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Who are you, G?
All right, let's not bury the lead here. We got a lot of passing thoughts. I said who's having fun because this is a very fun day. Crowd is here again. 11 on 11 right in front of us, coming out of the back end zone, which would be the north end zone. I sounded like Mark Vandermeer right there, didn't I? That is definitely the north. Trust me on that. I'm a fisherman. That is definitely the north end zone. Anyway, here's the first passing thought. Let's not bury the lead. Defense is kind of taking it personally today, man. They're kind of taking it personally that the offense has had a couple of decent days in a row. Big time plays. Who just had that interception?
Jalen Reed, 34, the safety. Nice for him to get a little bit of love as one of the rookies in the defensive backfield, because I thought J-Rock was going to take all the shine. Jalen Smith had been doing a lot of stuff. I think that might have gone as a pick six. I kind of lost it in the corner. But, I mean, he got it to the point where the entire defense was starting to create a caravan going the other way.
Yeah.
So I think the defense is taking it personal, but they should, because it feels like the offense is starting to air it out more offensively today compared to where they had been previously, as you get another PBU right in front of us, this time by Russ Yeast, another safety.
Yeah, he's the one that I said he's not just playing for here. He's playing for football.
Correct.
Yesterday. Definitely a big time so far. We got plenty to go, and we'll keep you up to date. Defensive day so far, but here's the play, and it happened just as we were sitting down, and you and I both kind of raised the eyebrows a little bit. This is the play that was so intriguing to me. Nico is still Nico. Nico is still Nico. They were airing it out, as you said, down the left sideline, and he had at least a step and a half, maybe two steps on the DB. But you know what? Kamari is still Kamari. Kamari Lassiter closed the gap and got the interception.
That was a Kalen Bullock interception.
I mean, Kalen Bullock. I said Kamari. I meant Kalen Bullock. He was number two in your program.
Which he has been, like, you can
he's
see.
He's been amazing.
You can see the kind of shift in him.
Yeah.
And shift feels weird, as if he's moving from bad to good. He's already been good. We saw a little bit of a shift through the last season. Early on in the season, you could very much see a guy who was a rookie and trying to find the speed of the game. When he found the speed of the game, we know this. We can look at the stat sheet and see the interceptions. He was that guy. that was played the football. Obviously, you saw the kind of the ball hawk nature of him. Somehow, it feels like it's turned up. Are you seeing getting that sense as well?
I said it yesterday. I've said it a couple of times during camp. Kalen Bullock is just taking it to another level. He did right there. And here's the one downside to that issue. The one downside to that issue, it was vastly an underthrown ball by C.J. Stroud on that interception by Bullock. We'll keep you updated on everything going on the field right now. But here's another thing. Let's just put it where it is. The defense is just kicking their ass right now. I mean, it could change, but it's absolutely kicking their butts on the run game. And that's another passing thought. I don't know what we're going to know about the run game. I don't know what we're going to find out about the run game. They have not had a lot of success today, and they just recently, this right there, the last play has been, it was a tackle for loss. Obviously, it was number 56 in your program, Jamal Hill, who made the tackle in the backfield. The run game is having some issues. Another couple of passing thoughts. I guess we got to mention what's happening right here in front of us. We're not going to say anything because we don't know anything, but players are on a knee, and it seems as if a cart has been taken out to the middle of the field. We will keep you up to date on what we learn from that as soon as we do. All right, another couple of passing thoughts right here. Let's lighten it up a little bit.
And we have a little bit of a better – before we lighten it up, we have a little bit of some folks that have a better angle than we have at this moment. It looks like it's the rookie defensive tackle, Keontae Hamilton.
Okay.
He's had a few splashes early on in camp. Like, I wouldn't say that he's been, everywhere by any means, but he's had a few splashes, so this is absolutely sad to see. It's always sad to see, obviously, but for Keontae, seventh-round pick, you were hoping to, obviously, a clean bill of health and an opportunity to, shine a little bit.
Reportedly is what we need to
– I appreciate that.
To add there that it is him. What is the NFL Network doing over here, man?
Giving us a slightly less good angle.
Not bad. I thought it would be worse.
That is true.
I thought it would be worse. But
to answer your question, big dogging us. That's what's happening, man.
Yeah,
look, Sports Radio 610 is the home of the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. NFL Network is the home
of the
NFL. That's right. They're gonna big dog us a little bit. But you know what? I think we are the Southern hospitality, the Houstonian hospitality.
If they asked nicely, I would have let them.
I have a feeling that they didn't ask you.
ESPN Zone, the NFL Network.
Are you reporting that? Is that what's happening there?
It is here. How about the new there's a new slogan that Texans fans need to get used to. Every staff member, every coach on the field, including from the hierarchy of Cal and Hannah on down, is wearing a new shirt. It says, "Not iron sharpens iron."
It doesn't say not iron sharpens iron. That'd be very counterintuitive to the thought processes.
It doesn't say iron sharpens iron. It doesn't say swarm. It says collective belief with the skyline of Houston behind it. It's over on the front of the shirt. So collective belief, is that one we're going to have to learn now?
I think I'll leave that to if we get D'Amico preaching that in the and more importantly, if we get players saying it on the podium, I think then we'll hit that space. I do understand and appreciate every campaign, right, has its slogan, has the messaging that it needs to rally their guys behind it, right? And this is another campaign, the 2025 campaign. And so I would understand why you have that as a perspective, because you need a level of oneness to get you in line to be, to have the level of success that they're hoping to have. It's not just another, AFC South championship. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that is a goal, but it's not the ultimate goal. And you're going to need a level of belief that you can reach the heights. I think it's fair the people that might not have belief in this team to go and beat the likes of Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City. But them on the field and everybody that's within this apparatus, they need to have a belief that's collective.
Just to keep you up to date, they are taking the player off about two. Players are gathering together. I'm sure they're regrouping, saying we've still got to get our work done, and their thoughts as ours are with the players. So we will keep you up to date on that. Texans about to get back at it with their 11-11 or whatever the next drill might be. Here's a passing thought I had during what they call ROA/Indy, which is basically a fancy way to say run on air and individuals.
Oh, that's what ROA stands for.
Yeah, run on air.
I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, ROA. /Indy. They put on the scoreboard. It's run on individuals and run on air and individuals.
Player gave us a thumbs up on the way off.
Baby. Yeah. There's always a late round pick that somehow, some way, maybe not immediately, maybe not even by the end of the season or toward the end of the season, but eventually makes a splash. You noticed Luke Lachey, right? You've noticed him.
I've noticed him a few times, for sure.
He seems to, again, take it for what it's worth, you know, getting into the reps with the first and second team. He has made a couple with the first team. Now, it might just be somebody needed a break or whatever. I'm not saying anything along those lines. But he's getting really good looks. Luke Lachey, the tight end, and it goes back to what we talked about yesterday. This is going to be I'm very, very encouraged by. I think there are going to be multiple tight ends on the field multiple times.
I think you're right in the idea that there will be multiple tight ends. As much as I have enjoyed some of the things I've seen from Luke Lachey, I think I like his movement. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more fluid than I had anticipated coming in. Maybe that's more of a me thing and my anticipations than it is about Luke. I think I've liked what I've seen from him. I think, though, you go back to D'Amico Ryans when he starts talking about tight ends, talking about only three, Dalton, Cade, and Brevin.
Right.
And I think that Luke is in a place where maybe in a future perspective.
Right. But he's getting a good look.
Right.
I think they like what they're looking at.
I think they like just looking at all of these guys. You mentioned it yesterday. I thought it was an apt kind of thing to bring up, is just the notion that all of these guys are getting rotated, including a guy who is – ostensibly, who is a fullback. Jakob Johnson is, again, being utilized fully like a tight end. Mm-hmm. And I'm very intrigued as to what that ultimately portends for this offense.
Yeah.
But I think also that might mean you're not going four deep at tight end this year.
Yes. One of the reasons that we love being out here and being able to share our thoughts and passing thoughts with you is something that just happened on the field. You may have heard the crowd with a little bit of a roar. I believe that was Dalton Schultz with
that
a little catch.
That absolutely was Dalton Schultz.
That was a sack all the way. That was 100% would have been a sack. They all, two guys, I didn't see who they were, held up on C.J. Stroud. So don't read too much into that little roar you heard. It was just finishing the play after what would have been.
Don't read too much? That was a ball that was a little bit, it might have been just on the outer reaches of Dalton Schultz's catch radius.
Mm-hmm.
He manages to tip it and catch it and bring it in himself. That's a relationship that I think needs to, you know, show even more fruitfulness this year.
Yeah.
And so it's good to see, even though he was sacked, opportunity to get some work in.
Yeah,
get the ball out there. And Dalton Schultz making good and making CJ better in that instance, which I think is something that we have clamored for from Dalton, is, hey, you're the pass-catching tight end. Make your quarterback better by catching the football, and he just did that.
That's fair, but in a game, he would have had to complete that pass from his back. So
who's the Debbie Downer now, huh? You hear that?
We're going to get into this a little bit. C.J. Stroud getting a lot of reps. I've been wanting to see that. I want to see more of it as they try to, you know, iron out these kinks that we are seeing again today. Not so sure that wouldn't have been another sack right there.
Oh, I am sure.
He didn't even throw it.
He didn't even throw the football. Yeah, no, that absolutely would have been. And it looked like our guy Lakin, the Jamaican, was the guy who got beat on the offensive line there.
Okay. I'm sensing more push-ups for the offensive line today.
If they're not careful. But bicep's about to be bicepping here in a second.
And here's one that I really want to kick around with you, because you've mentioned this once or twice. And so they had the individual punt return drills, you know, off the jugs machine with Frank Ross there. They only had two guys back on individual punt return. Those two people were Braxton Berrios and Jalen Noel. So there's a couple of things there that we need to kind of monitor and pay attention to. Number one, Jalen Noel, I think they really want him to be a return man. Number two, Braxton Berrios is smack in the thick of things right here. And Berrios, as it pertains to the number of wide receivers you keep, this is what you've talked about, the lineup, so to speak, in the wide receiver room. Berrios could kind of be a fly in the ointment here, huh?
In some ways, but I do wonder if they go with the Steven Sims school of thought, where one of those wide receiver spaces is simply just kind of, we view him as punt returner. Yeah, I mean, I think Berrios can give you routes as an offensive player, don't get me wrong, in a way that it felt like Steven Sims was not at least believed to in this organization. But you could go from a place where you don't even hold that position against the rest of the wide receivers. You go, hey, Braxton Berrios is so far and away ahead of what you've got going for your punt returners and your kick returners, that he holds that spot as a returner, and whatever we can get offensively is additional. But it is nice to know that Jalen Knoll is in a space where they feel comfortable, where he is starting to slide in there as primary backup return, at least in my estimation. I'm not saying that that's what they've said, but as the primary backup for returning, that's going to be good because, again, that's going to be, I think, where he has the easiest chance of having value in year one.
Yes, you're absolutely right, but it is something to monitor. Arthur Mollett out on the field, but in a red jersey.
Yep, just like yesterday. Non-contact.
Yeah. Arthur Mollett, at least he's getting some reps. He was doing all the drills, all the ROA in Indy.
How long before that feels like a thing that you aren't happy about there? Because he feels like, especially with Jimmy Ward not available or not out here actively getting work with his legal situations, he feels like he is the, you know, he is the heir apparent to that second, you know, to that backup role behind Jalen Petrie, which, as we know, in this defense is very, very important.
Brother.
I got a brother. You hear that, Figgy? I got a brother out of Lopez.
Brother. If this were, was it Rocky II? Throw in the damn towel. I mean, the defense just got another interception.
That was Henry. We'll talk to him a little later today.
And we talked to, and as we were talking, there was another sack. Or at least it ended up being a scramble out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, earlier, was that the one with CJ? That one I actually don't blame on the offensive line. That was a coverage sack. Actually, it wasn't a sack. CJ actually escapes to his left side, picks up a few yards with his feet. That one was more of a coverage situation. So,
nevertheless, really good pressure, and had to scramble out of the pocket.
But I think I didn't actually count in that instance. But if I had counted, I think that would have been to the place where I go, all right, offensive line, I'm not holding that one against you.
Yeah, maybe
not. Now, of course, like we talked to Lakin yesterday, they hold themselves to a high account, so that might add to the push-up count. We'll let Cole Popovich tell it. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out.
It's either impressive. How would you describe today? It's either really, really impressive, they took it personal, or it's such a bad whooping right now. The offense can't do anything.
Now, you know me. I'm going to find a way to be in the middle of all this. I think it's a little bit of both. So I do think it is a level of impressive from the defense. We know that they are going and they're attacking the football. They're attacking the nation, or the notion, rather, of being a takeaway defense, and we're seeing that. It's also worth noting, this is an offense that's now opening up, and they're putting the ball downfield a little bit more than they had previously in camp. That's going to expose you to more pressure. However, that also means that the offensive line, hey, these are your challenges. Because if you want to attack downfield, like we know CJ has the capability to, and we know he itches to at times. I don't know how much this offense is geared towards that, but you want to be able to attack downfield. You want to create explosives, especially being able to go over the top, because that changes the way defenses have to affect you. You need to be able to hold up. They have done, I don't know if I had to put a letter grade on it, they've done about a C grade job of protecting him when they're going downfield. Again, a tougher thing to ask than when you're getting into quick game or you're going quick outs or things of that nature. But see, I think I have a C here for the way that they're protecting right now.
I have a much lower grade than that.
Okay, all right.
It's a D minus. The offense can't do anything. And here's the last passing thought.
I wouldn't say that. They're getting the ball downfield. Now, of course, there's some interceptions. There's some interceptions, which I think are more about the way that the defense is jumping in. And honestly, some questions that we have about CJ, which I think we'll get to. But one of those, I mean, there's a great ball down the sideline. Jaden Higgins just, I feel like he didn't know how to adjust to that football. And that's another thing that we're going to have to see. How is Jaden Higgins' relationship with CJ coming along? Because it seems like he's been placed pretty easily and handily in that spot as the guy who's going to be opposite Nico Collins.
No, it's early. It's training camp. Long way to go. A lot of improvement to be made. But I couldn't disagree more. I
mean,
this is an ass-whipping right now. This is an ass-whipping right
Somebody
now.
Somebody said, Reggie, don't give them excuses.
but again, let me qualify it, because I've been, you know, pretty positive about everything I've seen out here, especially the last couple of days from the offense. But I got to tell you what I'm looking at, man. I mean, this is an ass-whipping. And that leads to my final passing thought. The best part of the defense so far today for me, depth. A lot of these plays are being made, you know, by – I mentioned Hill earlier, you know, with the TFL.
Jalen Reed with the interception.
Jalen Reed with an interception. Another pass breakup just right now, but, you know, with depth, you know, on the field. So that's the great thing about this, is the defense is not only really, really good and dominating today, but the depth is there as well.
Agreed. That was the one thing that I harped about all offseason is, all right, what does the depth look like? The depth is showing up. So, again, I give them their credit. I don't think you're wrong in saying that the defense has clearly won today. I just feel like I want to add some context to what's happening offensive line. If you want to say that I'm giving them excuses, that is fine. because, but I also want it noted on my own ledger. Wasn't yesterday the day that I was saying I'm still not sold on what's happened with this offensive line?
You sure were.
But I just want to be as contextual as I possibly can as we're giving you our passing thoughts here, Houston Texans training camp. We're in team two out here. So I think we're going to get some more opportunities to see a little bit more of what this offense and defense has as they're going up against each other. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. One of the beauties of Sports Radio 610, we've got a lot of different personalities on this station. They have a lot of different viewpoints, literally and figuratively. And so the quarterback on our station, Clint Sterner, had an interesting thought about C.J. Stroud that got the people going yesterday. And so I want to kind of get your thoughts on it. Are you at all concerned about the rep count and the rep share that we're getting at quarterback? Because Clint yesterday had a comment on it, and I kind of want to see if we talk about it. Let's do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's right, big voice man. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yet another day of practice out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston Texans Training Camp 2025, babies. You got John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula Figgy Fig. Again, feeling like a redheaded stepchild. It's not my fault, Fig. I would have had you out here, if I'm going to be completely honest.
It's all good.
Yeah, see, I just wanted to make that clear. I know you don't hate me, but I feel like I have to actively always work to make sure that we're on a good space. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're proactive, you don't have to go back and
That's
fix
right.
it on the back end.
That's right.
But, yeah, we are watching a little bit of break. These guys are getting a breather out here.
They were doing some special teams.
Yes, they were. And, again, I'm glad you mentioned that because a couple of things, some quick passing thoughts before we get into the conversation that we have here. Tremont Smith, number 11, getting a little bit of work in kickoff return as well. I haven't talked a lot about Tremont Smith because he's one of those veteran depth cornerback guys out there. And I haven't made a lot of notes of him, so I do wonder, have you seen anything of him? What are you thinking? Because him being involved a little bit in special teams things, I don't know if that means he's going to make the roster or what have you, but I'm like, all right, cool. Like, could that be where he latches on?
Oh, I think he's going to be in the mix. You know, he was definitely a guy that they liked a lot last year, had a very specific role for a while. I think Tremont Smith's definitely in there. And then you mentioned another thing that was quite intriguing to me. You know, we've been – biggest fans around for Kalen Bullock. He seems to be doing it all on every type of team, including special teams.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to give him his love, and I feel like I need to give somebody a pet cat point. Hey, man, there's at least two really good return reps on kickoff return, right? These are the dynamic kickoff returns for number 82, Jalen Noel. Like, not you know, we talk about the kickoff return being a little bit almost like a running play, where you catch the ball, you need to find your blocks and go, and it's a little bit different than punt return that we've seen these guys work at a little bit more. He's had some really good read and react situations. Some of these kind of bouncing back to the other side of the field when the place that he had planned to go, it seems like, closes up. And so he looks really, really good in that. And I do wonder if it'll be him next to Berrios on return, like on kickoff return.
Yeah,
there was one of those reps where it was Jawar Jordan next to Berrios on kickoff return. But yes, very, very fun, I guess. And it'd be good having two return guys, but also you want a guy that you feel comfortable going up and blocking. So I think that'd be the interesting thing if you had a Berrios pairing. But anyways, we'll see more about what's happening as we are watching camp. But yesterday, somebody who was also watching camp, our guy, Clint Sterner of The Drive, you hear every afternoon, 2 to 6 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. He had this to say about what he noticed when it came to the reps, the number of reps, the rep share that was happening with the quarterbacks, particularly C.J. Stroud.
I'm not out here trying to tell you what's wrong. I'm not here trying to tell you that there's some kind of crazy injury. I'm telling you right now, watching five of the six practices that have taken place, something ain't right with C.J. Stroud.
You're not saying that you know anything, you have any inside information, but for you, what you're seeing numbers-wise in terms of reps and all of that the last, well, since camp started, is just unusual, and you and tips you to think like something's up because this isn't normal.
I'm not positive, Ron, because I didn't sit there and count every single rep, but they did two team periods and 1 7-on-7 period, and I know in one of the teams he got two reps, and I know in the 7-on-7 he got two reps. Point is, I'm not going to pin myself down to a precise number there because I was trying to watch other things, but there is today 7-on-7 and team combined. I bet you CJ Stroud got a single digit rep. I bet it was 9 or fewer.
To me, the hope is that they're maybe potentially still cautiously protecting his arm in a way they did during mandatory minicamp.
But that in itself is something.
He's not wrong if that's true.
Okay, so let's start, because I think I want to get to the larger and meatier point in my perspective of just the rep share, because we have noticed that there's still a lot of reps going to Graham Mertz and Keaton Slovis. And I think that the quarterback depth chart is one that is, I think you could write in pen right now. You could probably type it up. You could send it off to the printing press at this moment. So I think we'll get there. But do you have any concern of CJ health-wise out here for us? Maybe that may be factoring into a lesser or maybe not as a robust snap share when it comes to some of this practice work?
Long story short, no. But I'm not going to say that Clint is necessarily wrong, nor Ron. I think it's somewhere between maybe he's taking a few fewer reps and maybe they're just being a little more cautious. I think that's definitely the case. All I'll say is he just threw a magnificent ball back shoulder to Nico Collins, and I'll say this too. I am counting the reps in this 11-on-11.
We have a number of eyes at Sports Radio 610 counting reps.
I am counting the reps right now as we speak it, and it is ones versus ones. You got all the big names on the defense out there, offense as well. They did a couple of handoffs before that throw to Nico Collins. But here's my big takeaway from what we just heard. Like I said, it could be a little bit of both. I think right now they're being very cautious, maybe not just because of something lingering with his arm. They're throwing a lot at their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
They are throwing an eye. You remember the first couple of days of camp, he got the lion's share of reps. Like, he got a lot of reps, but they weren't really throwing a lot. It was just sort of kind of half-speed stuff. So I think it could be just any number of things. But for me, the overarching thing is this is a brand-new offense, and this is an offense that is hinging on the quarterback making all the calls, all the reads, all the throws, all the everything. So maybe that's part of it too.
That was where my mind went when it came to reps was I wonder how much they want him to do active physical reps and how much they want to get mental reps where you can see the breadth of the field and get a feel for what's happening. Because I do want to start from the place of, I think we can agree, I don't know how many reps I want to give to Keaton Slovis and Graham Mertz. I understand that there's the idea of like a project that you're working towards, and camp is the time where you would be working on that project for like a Mertz into the future or Slovis into the future if that's something that you have within your mind. All right, cool. I personally am not moved by that. I want to, if we're just talking about getting an opportunity without any other considerations, CJ and then Davis as well, because I think that he has an opportunity to get into a game, a meaningful one that you might need. Obviously, knock on wood, because I don't want that to happen. But I think that those ones would matter. Outside of that, though, the idea of mental reps does intrigue me, because we've heard from players. Sometimes, really good players, they get hurt or whatever, and they have to be out, and they find value. And I don't know if it's just them, finding a silver lining in the situation, but they find value in seeing the play from a different perspective and being out. And I do think that you're right. With all of the work and all of the newness of this offense that CJ is interpreting and digesting, I do think that there might be value in that. The question I then have is, do you think that this is the right perspective, or the right way to going, if they are indeed doing that, to have such a even share amongst all the quarterbacks, or do they need to adjust that in your mind?
No, and for the record, CJ Stroud is just taking 6 reps with no backups taking any. I believe he's still on the field. No, they're kicking a field goal. So he took 6 reps. They were trying to run. It wasn't 2-minute per se. It was just kind of run the length of the field. No backups took any. That's just in this particular drill.
Sure.
To your point about the backup quarterbacks, that's a non-factor to me, because you've got all season, you've got practice squads, you've got meeting rooms, you've got extra drills on the field after practice, extra looks. So, like, if you're trying to develop something, that to me, that's just not even a factor.
Okay, so that makes it even more so that it is a little odd that we have this kind of snap share, though, isn't it?
Yes, it has been. But, again, it could be one of the three things. Maybe there's something there they're being careful with. Maybe it's just a matter, you know, of learning the offense and taking your time, you know, and putting so much on him. So they're being deliberate. And maybe, you know, they're just trying to be a little extra cautious. So we'll see.
Okay. Some more things that we're noticing looking out here. There was another – I mean, the run game, it's interesting because I feel like at times the run game has been pretty good for this offense out here. In that drill, at least I saw one play where I believe it was Tim Settle. His jersey was kind of rolled up, but I believe it was 98. Big tackle for loss in the backfield. Like, we're still how are you feeling about the run game to this point for the offense?
Well, that was one of my passing thoughts. I have no idea what to expect. Again, the defense is playing so well. Joe Mixon is not out there. Nick Chubb, I think they are bringing him along slowly and you know, being deliberate, even though he's getting a lot of first-team reps. You've talked about, you know, the shake that he has or doesn't have compared to what he used to be. This is going to be another one of those, as I said yesterday, you know, preseason games don't really matter and you get a lot of backups. I think it's going to matter a little more for this team than usual, man, especially with the run game and certainly some of the things they're doing with the tight ends and the passing game.
Grimbauer would be good. What will matter even more is when you get that joint practice at the week after.
Exactly.
Going to be huge in telling us some things on that. But, yeah, back to the quarterback thing from the 713. Hasn't even been 24 hours, and just the fact that we're discussing CJ injury is scary. I don't know that I'm not sold on the idea.
Me neither.
He is injured. Yeah. However, I do think that pops up, and I understand where Clint, again, a man mm-hmm. who has been through this type of process of figuring out, you know, or like, you know, seeing what reps are, seeing what training camp is from the most inside of like the closest perspective as anyone that possibly can. And I think he's right at least to look up and say this is an oddity.
He's been
with
there.
The snap share.
Yeah.
And I, as you're looking to find reasons for that, I can understand how you pull that one out. I am still intrigued as to what their reason would be for the ways that they've gone through the snap share, because I don't know that I'd agree with the way that they've gone about it. But I'm still very intrigued to see, because, look, again, it's a lot. We talked about it. CJ has a lot that he's putting on, and I would like him to have maybe even a more even share of on you know, hands-on experience, hands-on kind of like feel and working through it in that laboratory environment.
Yeah.
And I would like to – I mean, I know it sounds weird. I'd like to see him work with more of the guys because, again, all these guys, if they factor in with if you're doing well, all these guys are going to be getting the ball from CJ, not Davis, not Keaton, not Graham. Like, I do think that I would like him to be involved a little bit more, even if he is getting some mental reps on the side.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Still watching camp out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. Seems like there's some people that very much agree that I don't know.
I was just going to open that.
Yeah, I don't know how much we're looking
do
at
Do I
injury.
Want to?
That's fine. I think everybody's getting involved with the conversation in a very fair way. Keep doing that, by the way, 713-572-4610. As coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. What's a breakup you wish never happened? Because if rumors are to be believed, the Astros might be remedying a breakup that happened with them and a player. Let's talk about that next. That's right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're headed into another team.
Man, they're going at it.
All right, let's go. At one point, you mentioned that they're going at it, and we mentioned that the defense has had the better for the most part. What is CJ Gardner-Johnson saying?
He was on the sideline apparently yelling, "It's belt to ass." It's belt to ass. You know what? I wish I'd have thought of that. I just said they're kicking.
You ain't heard that before?
Oh, I have.
Okay, let's say.
I have, but I'm just saying. I just said
they never heard that before.
No, I've heard that. Come on, man. I've said it.
Say
all,
where?
All I'm saying is, like in basketball. Come on now. All I'm saying is, I said they're kicking their ass, but it's a much better way to put it. It's belt to ass
now. He got to post the meme of who was that the NBA player that was holding the belt.
Oh yeah,
I forgot.
I can't even remember myself.
He played for the Rockets. Irritating ass.
Yeah, irritating ass.
But yeah, so that's that. But that also brings up a point. Someone asked this on the text line from the 832-713-572-4610 is the number of text. By the way, no fights in camp yet, or is it still early?
No
fights thus far.
No.
Now I got. I mean, the closest I saw was when they were working gunners. Like, you know, gunners were getting a little bit of work in special teams. I think it was British Brooks and Nick Neiman got into a little bit of a hand tussle, but it didn't last. But during the rep and a couple of seconds after. Nah, it seems like they've been very diligent in their work. Yeah. I imagine that D'Amico has stressed it and made it very clear. And then also, like, they've been very focused. I don't know that it's gotten to that point where it's gotten hot and heavy, which is probably a good thing.
And D'Amico, he's on the record. You know, he gets it. He's done it as a player, but he doesn't encourage it and doesn't and hopes that they focus more on what they're doing. You keep saying it's belt to ass. We'll see what happens.
All right. Let's switch gears. Question of the day. Again, 713-572-4610. What's a breakup that you wish never happened? Because it is possible that the Astros are feeling a certain way about a breakup that happened, or maybe they're just trying to remedy it. I know there's a lot of fans I've heard at times that feel this way. Former shortstop for the Astros, Carlos Correa. They are, according to reporting, I believe it's Bob Nightingale of USA Today, he's reporting that the Astros are mulling a reunion with Carlos Correa this season. I think that the actual mechanics of it would be so that, you know, the Twins pick up a little bit of that extra money and then they don't have to continue to play him and find some use for him. Maybe they send him to the Astros. Send on some prospects that could eventually be useful. And then you end up with a guy in a lineup that you trust, a guy that you know, and a guy that could play in the infield, especially as you need. He could play third base if you need him to.
He'll be third baseman, yeah.
He could slide around into the middle infield if you absolutely need him to as well. That is an interesting prospect as we near the trade deadline. What say you? Because we mentioned this in passing at one point, but we didn't talk very much about it. Is that intriguing to you?
Oh, absolutely. Third baseman coming home, knows the system, knows still some of the players. Obviously beloved in town, absolutely. And for what it's worth, Reggie, Bob Nightingale, 17 minutes ago, saw the Minnesota Twins lineup. They're playing an afternoon game just like the Astros are. Carlos Correa, not in the lineup today.
Ooh.
Not in the lineup today. It's happening. It's happening. But what is a breakup? Because it was a breakup. You know, it was money. It was length of the deal, all that stuff.
That was, the second in line of the MO and the trend that we've now seen with Jim Crane and the Astros.
The Springer and all that stuff. So what's a breakup that you wish had never happened? I got a few. So I got some from the Wayback Machine. I got some from more recently. Let's talk about Wayback Machine. I mean, Beatles.
They didn't do enough for you?
That damn Yoko Ono.
Oh, you're one of them?
Damn Yoko.
Why does nobody make John take responsibility for his own actions?
Take control of your woman? Is that what you're saying?
Take control of your life? What you mean?
More recently, Destiny's Child, man. I get it.
I actually would argue that I'm good with the way that happened.
You're good
with
the breakup?
Hey, sometimes a superstar got to break out and go her own way.
I get it.
Destiny had a reunion recently.
They did.
Yeah, I guess Beyonce had a concert, right?
Yeah, it was her last stop in Vegas for a Cowboy tour.
Cowboy Carter, yes sir.
Yeah, Cowboy Carter, and she was accompanied by Michelle and Kelly.
How about that? See, they wish the breakup hadn't happened either.
No, they all love what's happening.
Beyonce over there like, yeah, right.
Figgy, where do you stand on that? Forget Beyonce. I mean, that sounded bad, but I'm saying like breakup you wish
especially
that.
Especially in Houston, buddy. You better be careful. The Hive will come get you.
Just the concept of a breakup you wish didn't happen.
Just anyone or just Beyonce?
No, Destiny's Child. And anyone that you might have.
I think it lived up to his expectations. I don't think they left a lot on the bone or anything like that. I think we got all what we can get from them.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a breakup that I wish didn't happen personally was Outkast.
See, now we're talking.
I felt like that one hurt. I felt like they could have went on a legendary run, and their run was legendary still, but. Yeah. I felt like it was way too early to end.
That's a good one.
What did we get? Four albums?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
four?
I mean,
album of the year.
Yeah, if you want to count that last one, they technically did, but it was two separate albums.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Love Below. Speaker Box.
Yeah,
Speaker Box. Love Below.
And
I
wouldn't even count that as a them doing the album together because it was two separate albums.
Yeah, I wish Steve Carell had not broken up with The Office. I still watched
it. Oh, it was last season? Yeah. Was it one or two seasons?
It was three or four, I think. Okay. Either way, I still watched it. It was still very good. But Steve Carell, man, come on. I mean,
no, for sure. Like, I don't even think that they had anticipated him being like the superstar hub of the show as much as it did. But then, it just became that. It became very evident that's what it was. He was the heart of the show, and they tried to keep it going without him. Obviously, that's some TV kind of contract type stuff. No, I think that's fair. Even if someone, and I know I'm going to make some people mad, even someone that has not actually watched The Office, like, all the way through, I've caught spots here and there. Like, it's very clear that was kind of different. Some other things that have come in on the text line. Somebody said the Hot Boys. I appreciate that. Someone said Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. They thought it was a funny show until later, of course. Yeah, but the problem is that
it
one
ran
had
its course, though.
That one had to, because you can't have big old Shannon Sharp with all the accolades he had, having Skip Bayless proverbially and maybe possibly actually literally putting his finger in his face, talking about how he ain't do nothing. Like, eventually that one has to you know, separate. Some other ones that came through: 832, DeAndre Hopkins trade, clearly.
Oh yeah.
All right. So which one would you put higher? DeAndre Hopkins separation from the Texans, Andre Johnson separation from the Texans?
I would still say Andre, I think.
Okay.
I would still say Andre. What about this one? And it's kind of in the old school, but a lot of new school people still enjoy their music. Van Halen. They actually had more top 40 hits with Sammy Hagar than what was his name? Anyway, but when Van Halen broke up, that one hit as well. Charlie Sheen and 2.5 Men, someone says.
Yeah, I think that one needed it. I think that one was good. You know what's funny? There's a couple music ones I thought of, and I think, Fig, you were great, spot on with Outkast. One of the ones I thought of that kind of made me feel sad, and it was Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way that they're, like, having an active legal battle, and the way that they very clearly do not like each other anymore just makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Texter with a great one also from the Wayback Machine. The Astros and Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah. I was going to mention J.J. Watt and the Texans. I didn't like the way that ended, man. I felt like he should have stayed with this team the whole time, man. But I know it was a lot of stuff going on. Easterby lurking around and all that stuff. It made me sick looking at him in that Arizona Cardinals uniform.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was deeply frustrating. He should have finished it out with the Texans. There's a lot of ones coming in. TNT and the NBA. We still remain to be seen what it looks like with the inside the NBA going over to ESPN, and then also. But yeah, I understand. There's been a lot of fun moments watching the NBA with them. The Fugees, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, the Fugees.
David Lee Roth was the name.
Oh yeah, David Lee Roth. Yeah,
earlier,
Lee
Kobe Roth. And Shaq. Actually, I'm 100% good with that one.
Really?
I think that one needed to happen. Like, Kobe was an ascending star, and there's only so much oxygen and bandwidth.
It's a lot of championships.
Shaq had to be the number one player on the team that he was on at that point.
Okay, so they had issues, but that doesn't mean you wish they would have broken up.
I think I still didn't
want them to break up.
You know, some breakups need to happen. Like, some divorces are actually a good thing. I think that whenever we I was hoping I could get through that, but I didn't speed past it fast enough.
God almighty, if I heard that once.
And of course, I think of one. There's two that, of course, Houstonians will 100% agree with every single time. That is Hakeem and the Rockets, because seeing him with that damn cartoon raptor on his chest just felt so very wrong. And then also, it is the Oilers in Houston.
Yes. Oh, God. Of course.
I got one. I think a Houston hip-hop one, Paul Wall and Chamillionaire.
That one came in as well. Yeah, man. But I feel like Chamillionaire went on to a space that serves him very well. But, yeah, no, that very
but
much.
But that was a good duo, man.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So keep sending those in, 713-572-4610, because it seems like the Astros might make good on repairing
the relationship.
Not in the lineup, Carlos Correa for the Twins. Is it possible that the Astros could bring him back? Would you be okay with utilizing, like, Miguel Yola, who feels like he's the best prospect that the Astros have to give? Would you be good if they use him for that trade? Because that one feels like that one's not, like, a major one for what you're doing.
Yeah. Yes, to answer your question. I mean, just based on what their needs are right now, and window open, and Jim Crane willing to go over the luxury tax, because even though they might take on some of the contract, he's still going to go over the luxury tax.
Yeah, and that's one of the conversations. We'll talk more about this, because there's a lot to be had as we are nearing the trade deadline. That is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Time. So, there's more to talk about there, but it does feel like you have to be very diligent. It's when you walk into the store and you only got, like, $10, you got to be very careful. You can't buy up the store. You got to know exactly what you want. I think that there's some intrigue into, if you do make that happen, how you make it happen. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center watching Houston Texans training camp. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL and let's talk about some of the things that are happening around the league when it comes to camp. We'll do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.